Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you. As we inch towards the end of 2024, what travel goals do you have that you haven't yet met?
And furthermore, what travel goals do you have for 2025?
While we always have a healthy dose of national park travel on the horizon in any given year, this year I'm definitely planning to visit friends in Europe.
And don't forget, we have a pretty incredible trip to Iceland coming up this December, so we're both bound for European shores.
That's right, and thankfully, there's one travel guidebook company we can always look toward for all our travel needs.
From our hikes, to hotels, to the best spots to eat, Moon Travel has you covered.
From excellent first-hand experience from authors who are local to the areas they're writing about, to wonderful maps and great recommendations, Moon Travel Guides give the reader so much more than other travel guides on the market.
That's right, and we are so excited that this year we are again partnering with Moon Travel Guides.
Through this partnership, through the end of 2024, our listeners can get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when they use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's code GAZE24, GAZE24, for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library. Head to our show notes and check it out to see Moon's entire collection of guidebooks, and also see it at moon.com.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips, but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel Guides has you covered.
Head to moon.com before December 31st, 2024, and use code GAZE24, again, that's GAZE24, at checkout to open up the world of possibilities for your next trip.
Moon Travel. Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide. Hello, and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show, while our long format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time. Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
That's right. And this Trail Mix episode is all about the science of rainforests.
If you have been listening to our episodes from this past season, you'll know that we are hiking our way through the magical wonderland that is Olympic National Park. Along with mountains, seascapes, and forests, Olympic National Park is home to temperate rainforests, the inspiration behind this episode.
And while we will be spending a lot of time talking about temperate rainforests in this episode, it is worth noting that there are a variety of rainforest types out there in the world.
Okay, so prior to visiting Olympic National Park, have you ever visited a rainforest before?
I did when I was in South America.
Oh.
So when I hiked to Machu Picchu, we hiked on the Salkantay route, which is an adjacent experience to the Inca Trail. And that took us not only through a mountain and over like a glacial mountain, but through a rainforest too. So I had that sort of tropical rainforest experience. What about you?
I feel like there were maybe some sections of tropical rainforest in the things we did in Hawaii.
Yeah, I would imagine, yes. I guess so, yeah.
And I think that's been my only experience. Mm-hmm. Prior to going to Olympic National Park and hearing that there were rainforests there, I was like, but I've seen pictures of Olympic and I don't remember seeing like tropical. And
right.
Then you were like, no, it's temperate rainforest.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. Totally opened up my mind to all of the world that is all the different worlds that are different rainforests.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to begin with, let's talk about different types of rainforests in the world. There are four main groups of what we consider rainforests. There is the typical tropical rainforest, which most people think of when rainforests are mentioned. These are also known as lowland rainforests. There are also temperate rainforests, which are the types of rainforests you would find in Olympic National Park and many other places worldwide. There are other types of rainforests known as montane forests, which are in more mountainous regions of the world. They are also sometimes known as cloud forests. And then, and this was a shocker to us, there are mangrove forests, which are coastal rainforests whose trees tolerate the salt water and have many benefits in regard to coastal rehab and protection.
And I mean, you can't forget the fifth type, the Rainforest Cafe, that theme restaurant that had a chokehold on society for a brief moment in time. Have you been to a Rainforest Cafe?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm hearing the...
You're hearing the soundtrack of animals?
The soundtrack of it. Hold on. I have to talk about this for a second now that we're here. Okay. No, just some... There was some, I guess, comedy person on the internet. I don't know if it was a TikTok or an Instagram, but the joke was like how on Extreme Home Makeover, there's always like a kid's room they have to do and they always want to make it super special, but they always make it like super specific. Mm-hmm. The joke was like, they're like walking through this girl's room and it was like, they're like, oh, I see here that you have this picture with a gorilla. And then you hear the girl's voice. Yeah, I just like went to the zoo once and they were like, I know exactly what to do with this room. And then it just cuts to them and they're like, we're going to take her room and turn it into the Rainforest Cafe, mm-hmm, because she just loves the rainforest and all of the, and then it's like, they're at the Rainforest Cafe. They're like, can we actually get the like soundtrack of all the, like the thunderstorms, yep, and the things and the
rain,
whatnot and the
I
rain. And
that.
We're going to put that in, yep, her room. That's like the joke of this,
yeah,
video.
It was a very, you know, there was a lot of sensory experience happening at Rainforest Cafe.
I just remember it was like, it's overpriced food
theme
that
restaurant
is like, you know, like the food is average food.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You're paying for this experience.
Yeah. Kidding aside, let's dive in and get to learn a little bit more about these different types of rainforests, their importance, and how the rainforest of Olympic National Park and other temperate rainforests of the world differ from the three tropical types of rainforests.
So to start, what is a rainforest? A rainforest can be described as a forest which receives more than 80 inches of rain a year. To put that in perspective, the Chihuahuan Desert, which is where Big Bend National Park in Texas is situated, a park from season 6, only receives between 6 and 20 inches of rain per year. And here in New Jersey, where we both reside, we can get between 40 to 50 inches of rain per year.
The amount of rain that rainforests receive allow for a dichotomy of life forms to thrive and survive, from flora to fauna. In fact, rainforests hold 80% of the terrestrial biodiversity of the planet. 80% of the terrestrial biodiversity of the planet. That is incredible. Making them a pretty big deal when it comes to biomes that matter. Hi, grasslands. This is Rainforest calling, and you can suck it. Actually, no, they can't, because grasslands are also super important. Biodiversity matters, y'all.
Speaking of biodiversity, let's take a look at how each of these rainforests differ from one another. Let's start with the broader view of each. A tropical rainforest, or lowland forests, as they are sometimes known, are found in the tropical belt, which is between the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn. I feel like I want to make a joke here because what you have a your moon is in Cancer.
Mm-hmm. Just like Joni Mitchell sang about.
That's it. Two longitudinal lines that circle the globe above and below the equator. These forests will grow in elevations up to 1,000 meters or about 3,250 feet. The constant rainfall coupled with the heat makes these rainforests a hotbed, literally, of biodiversity. Some of the most famous tropical rainforests include the Amazon rainforest of South America, the Congo rainforest of Africa, and the Daintree rainforest of Australia, among many others.
A montane or cloud forest, as they are sometimes known, are also found within the tropical belt. The difference between these forests and their lowland tropical counterparts is elevation. These forests grow at elevations of 1,000 to 2,500 meters, which are known as lower montane, and 2,500 to 3,000 meters, which are more commonly known as cloud forests. These forests are named as such because of their near consistent coverage by clouds or mist. Because of the elevation of these forests, their trees are nowhere near as tall as the trees found in a lowland tropical rainforest, which which are the tallest trees found in rainforests. However, where these types of forests lack tree height, they make up for them in ferns and epiphytic plants, which are plants that grow on the surface of another plant. An excellent example of this type of rainforest can be found on the island of Borneo in Southeast Asia. This type of rainforest is much rarer to lowland forests, and its biodiversity is vastly different considering the great elevation. It is worth noting that all montane forests are not rainforests, as montane ecosystems are found on the slopes of mountains worldwide. Location in the tropics is something that definitely is an important factor for a montane rainforest.
A mangrove forest seems like the odd thing out on this list, as mangrove forests are coastal forests, usually acting as a stabilizer for the shorelines they inhabit. These forests also appear within the tropical zone, and mangroves have proven to be an indispensable part of coastal ecosystems. Not only are they a home for a variety of wildlife, they help to reduce erosion as well as help with storm surge during hurricanes and typhoons. They filter and clean water, and they have a variety of positive impacts in the fight against climate change, including storing carbon, helping to prevent coral bleaching, and helping to mitigate ocean acidification. Mangrove forests can be found in both Everglades National Park and Biscayne National Park, as well as a multitude of places around the world, including India, Africa, Australia, and Southeast Asia.
And then there's the temperate rainforest, the odd but nevertheless impressive cousin in this family of forests. Temperate rainforests can be found at a variety of altitudes outside of the tropical belt and are generally much cooler, for our purposes, we'll say milder, than tropical rainforests. Some even receive snow in the winter. These types of forests may have broadleaf deciduous trees and evergreens, although this varies depending on the location of the rainforest within the world. While these ecosystems are not nearly as biologically diverse as their tropical cousins, they are by no means less important. Along with the temperate rainforests of the Pacific Northwest, the Ho rainforest included in this grouping, temperate rainforests can be found in Chile, Japan, Australia, and the Middle East. Close to home, we can find a temperate rainforest in the southern Appalachian Mountains, and beyond the Pacific Northwest, we can find another temperate rainforest that we've already talked about on our show. Say it with us now, the Tungus National Forest. I was surprised to find this out in this research.
I am also surprised to find this out.
We talked about Tungus, I believe, in season 3 at some point.
That's right.
It's known as the lungs of North America.
Mm-hmm. Mike created an incredible design.
That still gets kicked around.
Still gets kicked around
Very
the internet a lot.
Yeah. But the Tungus is a space that is incredibly important and also a temperate rainforest.
The main differences in these two types of rainforests really boil down to climate, which in turn trickles into flora, fauna, and soils in these spaces. While tropical rainforests of the world are located in the tropical belt, that doesn't necessarily mean they are coastal. They have temperatures that are warm and a humid climate, which sees an incredible amount of rainfall annually. Temperate rainforests are mostly coastal, but may also be found in mountainous regions, have more seasonal climates, less rain, but more fog, mist, and cloud cover, which help to keep them damp like their tropical cousins.
When it comes to flora and fauna, while both have abundant life, there really is no comparison to the diversity of life in a tropical rainforest. With animals, insects, and birds that are iconic to these spaces and often found and often not found anywhere else in the world, tropical rainforests also boast multi-canopy layers, lush vegetation, and like fauna, species of flora unique to these spaces. Temperate rainforests, while also diverse, have animals and plants that may be more common to general landscapes in regions they are found in. While there are a great variety of mosses and ferns found here, their canopies are more open and often a mix of more common tree species, with some exceptions.
Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across 2 separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala. all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! During the months of November and December, we are highlighting the work of Native Like Water in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Founded over 24 years ago in San Diego, California, Native Like Water was launched to focus on and practice with indigenous sacred relationships to water. Native Like Water programs work towards solutions and sustainability of our life force. The organization prepares and reintegrates teens and young adults into ocean recreation, conservation, wellness, and intergenerational cultural self-exploration.
With programming like Youth Native Scholars, YNS, and Intertribal Youth, ITY, Native Like Water has helped to develop and implement academic, wellness, and cultural programs for Native American, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians, as well as youth from various nations. Native Like Water has programming which is open to a greater public, curating cultural experiences through an indigenous lens with a focus on cultural conservation and natural habitat.
Native Like Water is committed to not only education, but also working to enrich the lives of others. Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help support Native Like Water this November and December. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information or by visiting www.nativelikewater.org. While it may seem that tropical rainforests are the headliner and temperate rainforests are merely the opener, in the grand scheme of being an impressive biome, there is plenty to be awed about when it comes to temperate rainforests. Now that we know a little bit about each of these types, let's dive deeper when it comes to talking about temperate rainforests.
One thing that is more unique in a temperate rainforest and extremely important when it comes to carbon sequestering is the soil of these spaces. Because temperate rainforests have seasons, these rainforests have incredibly rich soils as plant decomposition is constant. Whereas in tropical rainforests, this is less so the case. The nutrient-rich soil found in temperate rainforests is excellent for storing carbon. This soil, combined with the biomass of temperate rainforests, biomass is the weight or quantity of living things in a given area, have an important role to play when it comes to climate change. In fact, temperate rainforests can produce more biomass than their tropical counterparts.
When it comes to biomass, temperate rainforests, specifically those of the Olympic Peninsula and the Pacific Northwest, moisture is key, like in all rainforests. In Olympic National Park specifically, these rainforests receive between 140 and 167 inches of rain a year. The forests of Olympic rarely see freezing temperatures or highs above 80 in the summertime.
The biomass of these forests includes epiphytes, those plants that grow on other plants, like mosses, ferns, and lichen. However, it is the trees that are an incredibly important part of the equation on the Olympic Peninsula and in other temperate rainforests. In Olympic, Sitka spruce and western hemlock, along with conifers and other types of trees, make up the forest landscape. These trees can grow to become enormous, and when they fall, they not only rot slowly, but provide for a forest community of flora and fauna in a multitude of ways. They also act as nurse logs.
We saw quite a few nurse logs.
We did.
While we were in Olympic National Park.
We absolutely did.
Which is sort of like a fallen piece of a tree.
Where or a now, fallen tree in general.
Or a fallen tree where now plants are growing out of the tree. It's so cool.
It is cool. There was on the Spruce Nature Trail in the Ho Rainforest, there was this completely uprooted tree. The root ball was perpendicular to the earth. And on top of it, there were dozens of trees just growing off of the root ball, which was so cool. And these nurse logs are such an important part to a rainforest community, specifically a temperate rainforest community.
The flora of these spaces has also provided food, medicine, and wares for people for generations via their plant species, including western red cedar, stinging nettle, fireweed, cattail, and salmonberry, to name a few. Each of these species has had a pivotal role for the first people as well as those foraging in the wilderness due to their function and use.
While temperate rainforests may not have jaguars, toucans, or monkeys, they have their own interesting guest list of animal species. In the temperate rainforest of the Olympic Peninsula, Olympic black bear, Roosevelt elk, Douglas squirrel, mountain beaver, spotted owl, and banana slugs are important parts of the web of life here.
So while temperate rainforests may number fewer and may be more specific in their location, their impact on the region and on a grander scale, the planet as a whole, is incredibly important in regards to global climate and overall health of the planet through their biodiversity and their carbon sequestration.
As important as they are, rainforests are perpetually targeted as a space to take from. Whether it is for logging, to mine, or to clear land for agriculture, in the last several decades, rainforests and the plants and animals that call them home have had a rough go. From the Amazon to the Tongass, these spaces are under attack. To survive as a species and to make the health and survival of other species an imperative, we must do all we can to protect and revere these incredible spaces for generations to come.
The sources for today's episode include the Rainforest Alliance, the National Park Service, the United States Geological Survey, rainforestconcern.org, myportangeles.com, wildernesscollege.com, and fundtheplanet.net. And now let's end this trail mix with a game.
All right, Dusty, are you ready for our game?
I'm ready.
This game is called Hot Tropic.
Oh.
And
great.
I will be guessing.
Like
I will,
Hot Tropics.
Like Hot Topic.
Today on The View, what's walking Hot no. Tropics?
No, like Hot Topic, the store at the mall.
I like that. Okay.
So what this game is I will be using the rainforest to get you to guess an item that you might find at Hot Topic.
Oh my God. Okay, great. I'm going through the inventory in my head.
Great.
Great.
For 100. The vines of a tropical rainforest have nothing on these items found at Hot Topic. While vines may grow up, down, and around the surfaces of trees and on their branches, this item, usually worn around a person's neck, sometimes lacy, other times black with metal studs, aren't designed to suffocate you, but their name may make you think otherwise.
What is a choker?
That is correct. For 200. While decomposition is the name of the game in temperate rainforests, even though he is long dead, the bones of this King of Halloween probably would still be intact a millennia from now. Just like how Hot Topic will have these items for sale featuring him and every other iconic character from this 90s claymation world and his plot to take over Christmas from now until the end of time.
Who is Jack Skellington from A Nightmare Before Christmas?
That is correct. That is, the only space to get... Nightmare Before Christmas.
They've
merch.
Got like
they have the market cornered.
They have it cornered.
Great, you're doing great. For 300, the intersection of physical location and elevation plays an important role in the function of both tropical and temperate rainforests, and is as interwoven as this intersecting fabric, which is often worn as a button-down, but is most likely to be found as pants and skirts at Hot Topic.
What is plaid?
That is correct.
Tartan? Okay.
That is correct. Look at you.
Great.
On fire. For 400, while ferns, mosses, and other epiphytes grow on the trees and ground in temperate rainforests, they're no match for these items sold at Hot Topic, which may adorn the calves and forearms of teens who want to keep these areas toasty rather than wearing long sleeves or pants.
What are like leg or arm warmers?
That's correct. Absolutely correct. And for 500. While temperate rainforests are incredible at sequestering carbon through their soil and their biomass, these itsy-bitsy items found at Hot Topic, which feature an incredible variety of movies, bands, and cartoon characters, some even looking like the characters themselves, are in no way practical for holding much of anything, least of all books, as their name might imply.
Oh, I don't know. I'm stumped with this one. I feel like we're holding bookshelves.
No, it's a tiny item.
It's a small, you said it's a small itsy item that holds item books.
That feels impractical. No, feel and probably wouldn't be able to hold books, even though its name might imply that it could.
Shelves.
No.
I don't know.
What are mini backpacks or mini book bags?
Oh, they definitely have those. They absolutely Hot do. Topic.
You did good, kid.
Did you ever have like a goth Hot Topic phase? Era
no.
of your life?
I did not.
Because I didn't either. I always walked through there.
Sir, if you have known me for the last 12 years, I think you should know I
oh.
have not.
Oh, no. I know. I know. You and I are like, we are far more similar than we are different. Mm-hmm. And every time I would walk through Hot Topic, I would be like, I'm just so curious about this store. Like, I just don't feel like it's for me, but it is great that it's here.
Yep. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.